Bitch Bible. Bad Bitch Bible.
And I didn't also want you to take me away from what I was experiencing. And I can also see how I was misleading by making out with people every week. I wasn't sleeping with them, but I was just like putting my tongue in people's mouths.
That was not fun to watch.
And I would do it right next to you too.
I know, but you know, like all I could do is kind of just like let you let you be, because like again, like I just knew that if I had done anything differently from how I handled that time, I know that we wouldn't end up together.
Yeah. But do you ever get scared that I might fall in love with a girl again? Because, because one of my fears and the reason I didn't either express that I wanted you to take me seriously for a while, like I didn't share those kinds of thoughts with you, is because I was scared that, hey, I don't want to lead you on. And then we start dating and then 6 months down the line, I'm gay pala. So I really wanted to take that time to think to myself, what am I really? What am I committing to? And I didn't want to involve anyone in that mess because I felt like if I involved other people, baka hindi ko ma-figure out. Like, I might just get more and more confused.
Well, I think that was also a big part of why I held back for quite some time. It's that, you know, I never made anything clear. I never made any usual sort of like progressions to how I would normally treat a relationship.
Or what's traditional.
Or what's traditional. Because I knew that our situation wasn't a traditional situation. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it kind of goes into the whole, like, oh, I never really asked you to be my girlfriend officially.
Mm-hmm. But like, I was pretty mad about that at some point.
I know. And that's something that we had, like, talked about and discussed.
Because I always felt that I wanted to be asked properly.
And I should have. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the way it happened was, you know, we got into a fight, like, what, how many, like 5-6 months?
6 months in.
Yeah, 6 months five, in. Yeah. Five to six months
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Right? And
you were prying.
I was prying.
Into my emotions.
I was
emotions.
Prying into your emotions. And I was asking, why are you feeling this way? Like, can you explain to me all these things? And you were like, why do you care?
I was like, why do you give a fuck right now? Like, just let me be. Leave me alone. Because that's what I'm used to, diba? Like, any time that I would go through a struggle or anything at all that bothered me, I like to isolate and deal with things alone. But for the first time in my life, and even in my previous relationships, nobody would really, like, poke me that way. Like, oi, oi, tell me what's wrong. Like, nobody would be that in my family. They really just let me be. And so I was so bothered that you're bothering me like that. I was like, just leave me alone, please.
And I couldn't leave you alone because I was, you know, it's in my nature to try and, like, solve the problem. Well, first identify what the problem is so that I can be a part of the solution of how to fix it, right? And you kept asking me why do you want to fix it? Why do you care so much? Why do you want to know these things?
Because I was like, di naman kita jowa, diba? Like, relax lang.
Yeah. And I just, I was mad and I was angry. I said, because I fucking love you.
And that was it. And I was like, oh my fucking God. In my mind, I was like, I can't wait to text Mike. But I said it back really quickly.
Very quickly.
Very, very quickly without even thinking it. And I had such a rush through my body.
Yeah.
Such a crazy experience I never felt before. I didn't think it would be that explosive.
And even for me, it was a very difficult moment because I'd been single for 6 years. I had never said that to anyone.
In those times.
In those times, like really, you know? Like, I never really told anyone that that's how I really felt about
them. Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
It was a kind of breakthrough moment for me, too, because after dating for so long and not having a proper relationship, rather, you know, it was where things were a bit more clear-cut.
Yeah.
It was a moment for me as well. So I was like, yo, this is the first time I genuinely feel this. It was so hard for me to say. And I knew that saying it would kind of change everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so much fear that comes into what if she doesn't feel the same way?
What if I don't say it back?
What if you don't say it back?
Were you ready for me to not say it back just in case? Or did you think I'd say it back?
I think no one's ever ready to hear the opposite. You know?
Yeah.
Because, okay, I'll be honest. You know, there were maybe one or two times where I've said it throughout. But again, the dating process wasn't the same.
Who are they? I'm going to kill them.
Like years ago. Okay. You know? And...
You still follow them on Instagram?
No. Okay. And it wasn't said back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there is that inherent fear.
Okay.
That for any relationship, really, I think not hearing those words after.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's
trauma.
There's trauma. There's pain.
Yeah.
Pain behind that. And even those... Even before my first girlfriend years ago, like, I've experienced that same thing, you know, where you tell someone you love them and they don't say it back.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, you know.
Yeah.
There are so many. Mm-hmm. But I would say this was the most scared I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
If you didn't say it back to me.
But I did very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you feel meeting my friends and then meeting my family? So meeting my friends was a whole thing because I felt like, you already knew my friends. All my friends I work with. If we don't work together, we can't be friends. And I know that's my toxic trait. Pero ganun talaga eh. Like, if wala kang job, like, we're not gonna be friends. And so, if you don't have, like, a job on your own, or if I don't hire you, there's no room for us to be friends. And so, all the people that were going to Good Gang, I was either hiring, working with, and so those are all my friends. And so, you met all of them. But one time I'm like, hey, I want to do a quick trip to Antipolo in Rizal take all my friends and then invite my guy. But then they didn't really know the full scope of our situation. They just thought we were hanging out. And so I invite not just you, but then also all my friends. And then you're like, what if I invite my friends too? And then we had this whole friendship shebang.
Yeah. Everyone kind of just like meeting each other. Well,
in the butt crack of Rizal.
In the butt crack of Rizal. People already kind of knew each other, you know, from like the industry and shit. But to see like, okay, this is my friend group and that's your friend group. And we're all kind of coming together.
In one house with no data, no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, just like, all right, it's going to be a mesh of friendship, friend groups. You know?
But the thing is, I didn't know na walang data doon. Yeah. I checked the Airbnb post and it said Wi-Fi. They had Wi-Fi. But when you get there, it's like, out of a group of 10, only one has Wi-Fi. It was always like that. Pili lang.
Like, we got there on motorcycles. Two of us got there on motorcycles. Yeah. And we had to cross a river on our motorcycles. There was like a...
Was Jericho not on bike?
No, Jericho had a car.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just me and Jimmy. And we had to get on the raft.
Yeah.
Like this, like, dipshit raft.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this one guy, just holding
imagine
the raft across as we cross the river, and we're both on bikes. So like, what the fuck? Are we gonna sink right now? Like,
because to get there, you have to drive for 2 hours and then get on the raft and then a little trike ride for us that took cars.
Yeah,
you could just bike it and then you get to the butt crack of Rizal. But imagine for me, we weren't that close yet, I would say, and it was our first outing. No, we went to Cebu. We went to Cebu, but then it was our first time really with a bunch of other people.
And like seeing our friends and
when
stuff.
We went to Cebu, we were just with Mike, and Mike's like, Mike's like fam, right?
Mike's homie.
Mike is homie. And so
Mike's gang.
It didn't really feel like such a pressure point or such a moment. But then when Lox was like, I want to invite my friends, is that cool? And I said, yes. Obviously, as a host, you want to make sure that the house is nice, there's Wi-Fi, there's food, right? Like, that's just normal.
Did your friends know that I was going to bring homies or no?
I did prep them the day of.
Okay.
Because, so basically, imagine putting a guy that I'm just starting to see and then James also on a raft, on a bike, on the raft. Like, yung hiya naman ako, diba? Parang, oh my gosh, imagine doing that. Prior to this, by the way, again, backstory 2017, LU, and I had my nipples hard in front of your friends. Like, I just feel like I haven't had a good track record in front of your friends, right?
Like,
it just didn't feel like the best way to take care and host people. But I couldn't do anything because everyone was already there. And Vanny, our other friend, biked.
Oh, fully biked. He biked.
Like, literally... Bike.
I still don't know how Vanny did that. Like, that's insane.
Wait, Rizal. And the thing is, he left so much earlier to the point that I think we left Manila maybe 8, 9 a.m. In the car because you left a little later on bike.
Yeah, yeah.
But Vanny at 5 a.m. was like halfway to Antipolo, like on his bike, like sending updates in the
fucking
Telegram
legend.
Group.
Legend.
So he had his bicycle on top of the raft, crossing the river, and then you guys. And so, voila, I just had to like suck it up and kind of be like, well, this is the trip. These are the things that we do, and take it or leave it. Because the girls didn't really complain. Eh. Yeah, like for them, it was just a Wi-Fi issue.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you guys showed up. It was such a weird experience because...
That was the first time you and I were kind of sweet to each other.
We hugged,
you know, mm-hmm. in the pool.
We hugged in the pool, just getting real close in the pool in front of other people.
That was the first time we were being a bit more affectionate towards other people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that. And I didn't invite just one friend group. Like, yeah, Mike was there, but then some of the Gigi girls, some of my older friends were there. Zoe, she was there for the first time. And it was like her first time really hanging out with us outside of HQ.
Yeah.
Jane, I went to like Ilocos with her. Like, I've had other experiences with the other girls, but I didn't group them in this one house.
We
were 12, I think, total, mm-hmm. or 13. And then you brought yours. So he had two guy friends, one girl. So three people also with you.
Yeah.
And so it was just a random mix of people. That was our first, like, meet the friends properly.
That was.
Mm-hmm. And now, the meet the parents.
Whether it was meeting your friends or meeting your parents, I was always excited. Mm-hmm. You know this
about
me. Like, I'm always like the kind of like, yo, yeah, I'd love to meet your dad.
He's so into togetherness.
Yeah, I'd love to meet your grandma. You know, like,
the way you met my grandma, by the way, we were already dating for 3-4 months at the time. Yeah. You forced to go to my house.
I did. I was like, yo, come on. I got to meet, like, it's, you know, only proper. Respectful and proper for me to meet your family.
Because I get it, naman. Like, as a guy, that's what you're supposed to do. And he was supposed to meet my family so much sooner. But again, I wasn't sure of myself, pa. So I didn't want to bring someone into my house na hindi pa ako sure. And then turns out he's smashing half of Poblacion. Like, how was I supposed to... I didn't know that at the time. I'm saying my train of thought, right? Parang ang hirap to bring myself to the point na, oh, meet the fam agad. And then... On the flip side, you brought me to meet your dad.
Yes.
1 month into dating.
Yeah. At the house.
Yeah. And a whole activity day. So it was really different because you were quick with it and I was slow with it. And then you were, again, pushing my buttons like, hey, when can I meet your fam? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait. But then you met my mom at my birthday.
I did. But, yeah. She didn't know.
No, she knew.
Did she?
Because she Googled you and saw that 32 nab for drugs. Nice. I had dinner with my mom at Amano, like 2 weeks, I think, after we started dating. And I was like, I'm kind of seeing a guy. And she's like, yeah, my friends have told me. the club manager, he runs the club. And she was like, yeah, amazing. The drug pusher.
Oh,
and
God,
I was like, not that. His case is cleared. But obviously, as a mom, she Googled you.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the first thing that came up.
Yeah, and obviously, she must have been very... concerned.
Distraught.
Concerned is an understatement. Yeah.
And so then you finally meet her at my birthday brunch with Sinodora, Miss Nate, like that whole brunch day.
Yeah.
How was it meeting my mom for the first time?
Again, like I don't get nervous about meeting family. I don't get nervous about meeting people in general, mm-hmm. I would say. I'm always like excited.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm more just like, yo, let's get it done. Let's do it. Because mm-hmm. I think the longer that we wait,
mm-hmm.
like people will start making their own assumptions about who I am or who you are.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just meet them and show them
who you are.
Who I am.
Okay, fair.
And come as I am, you know, like.
For me, I think I was not really nervous to meet your dad because it's a guy.
Okay.
I think women in general are always more nervous to meet the mom.
Yeah.
Similar to like how guys, I would say, are more nervous to meet the dad. What do you think? I think it's more typical like that. Like boys are more scared to meet the dad. No?
No, because I don't know. Like growing up, I've always been in rooms where I'm the youngest.
Yeah.
So... it's normal for me to meet people who are a bit older.
Okay.
And to me, it kind of just, that's kind of how it feels. It's like, oh, I know you're just an older dude or an older girl. It's just, and so I kind of know how to deal with them or meet them and interact with them a bit better.
Yeah. And then I met your mom for the first time when we went to Ilocos. No, Iloilo.
Iloilo.
Yeah, when we went to Iloilo. And so it was like trip agad. Yeah. And me as an introverted extrovert or extroverted introvert, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, we weren't even fully together. You haven't even asked me to be your girlfriend yet. Yeah, you didn't say I love you. Yeah. And then he was taking me on a family trip with not just his mom, but his aunt, his grandma, everybody. Cousin. Everybody to Iloilo. And I was like, okay, I guess. Right? I'll do it.
Yes, family's such a big part of who I am. And meeting my family is such an important, I think, moment for me. It's, and it's not about like the actual meeting. You know, it's more about like, oh, I'm excited for you and my family to build a relationship with each other or get to know each other, you know.
Fair. And then you met my dad for the first time the other night.
Yes.
Two nights ago. Because I have three dads for reference. So the first one's my real dad who bounced when I was 2-3. So he's from the States and doesn't really hang out, I would say. I only see him, I can count with one hand how many times I've seen my dad. And then my second dad, oh, he died. He was murdered. And then my third dad is Kale's dad, who is basically like my dad narin because I've known him since I was like 7-8. So parang ganon. And he's the one that I post online, the one that gets dragged a lot. And so you met him for the first time.
Yeah, well, either way, I was always excited, and I'm always telling you, like, yo, come on, like, introduce me, like, let's meet. I know you have, but again, you know, I know that there are limitations or there's circumstances that mm-hmm. Prevent.
AKA,
me from,
I don't speak to any of them.
Yeah, you know, so obviously it's hard for me to meet them when you don't speak to them.
That's one thing. But because Kale went to one of our events recently, I told Lox to bring her to the car. My dad was the one picking Kale up, my sister.
It was a very quick interaction. He said thanks for dropping her off, and I said, hope you guys have a safe ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you happy about it? Are you proud of
yourself? I am. I wish we could, you know, like, properly shook hands, but... You know, we were busy and they were also trying to
bounce,
like skedaddle.
Yeah.
So I know there'll be, hopefully there'll be another chance where I could actually meet him and talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into the provider man segment.
Okay.
Because you know my feelings on it. And I think that you weren't this way at the very start. I think that it took a lot of training to get you to this mindset because I remember at the very start, like when we started dating, you weren't always paying for everything when you would hang out or you wouldn't really take care of me in that way. You're always a nice guy and a good guy, but a part of me when we started dating, I wasn't fully envisioning like seeing you really because I was like, I want to be taken care of. And that's the honest truth.
Yeah, I think, I don't discount the fact that, you know, communicating with you throughout the relationship has made me understand more of what you're looking for, what you mm-hmm. want from a relationship, what you want from a partner, right? And the question is always like, oh, is your partner willing to learn or is your partner willing to make changes so that partner could give you what you're looking for mm-hmm. or what you're expecting? And... you know, in the beginning, I think we didn't know each other so well yet.
Outside of the work setting.
And at the same time, you know, di ko alam yung kung paano lumambing eh. You know, because like, I haven't...
No, because you also told me before that sometimes you weren't sure if you took care of something, I'd be offended.
Yeah, you were such an independent person. And
the whole boss bitch mentality, you didn't know how to...
Yeah, where I was like, wow, you know, like, it's crazy to try and date someone who doesn't really need anything from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Versus because I can pay for my shit. I can take care of myself. Exactly. I have my own driver. Like, I don't need a ride. I would also say that I didn't want to scare you away because I liked you. And so I wanted to slowly train you. Because I already knew that you weren't pre-marinated.
Pre-marinated is such a funny way to say that.
No, because nobody's ever... trained you like that. Like, you weren't in long-term relationships where you had to take care of girls, and you're also so much younger back then.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to drop the bomb on you right away that it's like, hey, if you're not rich, I'm leaving. Like, like, I didn't want to do that. I wanted you to know that there were so many other things that I liked about you, and I really just didn't want to scare you away. It's just one of those things that you would have only done if you loved me. I think if I told you from the first day, like, by the way, if you're broke, peace, I don't think you would have taken it very nicely.
Well, it's not something you would say directly like that.
Exactly, you know? But like to that effect.
I would have had a response.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah. No, but don't you think it's not really in the amount of money, but it's in all the little things that you do?
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. You know, like there are economically savvy ways to make someone happy without spending your entire life savings.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you're not in a position to be able to do that or to be able to provide for yourself first, number mm-hmm. one, and then still be able to date someone and show them how much you appreciate them,
mm-hmm.
then you really have no business fucking like dating or expecting anything more than, you know, a very young relationship.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I do have my rules. Like, you have to take me out on a date every month. And if not, I get mad.
Of course. And I think that's you know, depending on like the relationships that you guys have, like, you know, you figure out what works for each of you, mm-hmm. you know. And for me, I like having one day, at the very least a month, where we get to sit down and talk and get to know each other. Because we change so quickly.
Mm-hmm. With all that we do, pa.
You know, like my wants like 3 weeks ago and my goals 3 weeks ago could have fully changed by, not completely, but, you know, we make adjustments along the way. And so I think it's always important to be able to come together and recoup, you know,
yeah.
and recalibrate with each other. The same way that you would do that for your business, or the same way you would do that for your own like personal career, and etc.
That's one thing. And then I want new flowers all the time.
You know, it got me, because like I didn't get the whole flowers thing at first, but then now that, you know, like I can send you flowers, and when I come over and I see your flowers there, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's nice to have a little color in the space.
Life.
You know, so yeah, it's nice picking them out also, and like find, oh, I think this will be really dope for you now, and kind of mixing and matching it. It's fun.
Thank you. And then also, one time we were with Jella. Oh. And then you and I were arguing. Oh, and yeah. I was like, I don't want you to watch my content, because I feel that obviously Locke sees me in a different light because we're always together at home. And so I feel like you see so many sides of me, but the side online, I don't like it as much, or I'm not as proud of it, because hello, I'm not always bad bitch. I don't know. whoa, okay. Okay, bad bitch. It's like, yeah, sit yeah, down, yeah. Like, calm down. And so I don't enjoy him watching my content as much, which is why I told him, you're banned from watching my content. And then Jella, my hairstylist, was like, okay, but if he bought you a Birkin? And then you said yes so quickly.
Yeah, promise. So by the time you're 30,
mm-hmm.
I'll definitely get you a Birkin.
Thank you.
In exchange for me being able to watch your content.
For years.
For perpetually.
Yeah.
There's a perpetual mm-hmm. asterisk on exactly. that condition.
Okay. How do you feel then about dusties?
What's that?
Your fellow kind, but dusty. Dusties are broke men.
You know.
Or men that don't take care of their women.
You know, it's one thing to be able to have that capacity and then not.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your partner. That's fucking whack. That's just like, wow, you're an asshole.
Because I think there's a difference between, you know, rich and generous. Because even though, like, not that rich guy can be generous and know how to take care of their women.
Exactly.
But then there's also people that are really rich and just opt not to.
Well, you know, it reflects more on them, what kind of mm-hmm. what kind of people they are. You know, it costs to have or to be in a relationship. That's just how it is. You know, like, how else are you going to prove to someone that you care about them, or that you can, you know, in a more traditional sense or in a more in a traditional setup of a relationship, you know, someone has to be the protector, the provider, the this and that. And I know mm-hmm. that nowadays, you know, like those kind of roles are a bit more flexible depending on how your setup is with that relationship. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, that premise exists.
I know. And I also think that honestly for me, and just speaking for myself, coming from a gay relationship where everything was 50-50 all the time, which again works for some couples, but for me, not just doing 50-50. Like I would set up people's careers, I would work, I would provide opportunities, I would provide at home. Like there, I was fulfilling so many roles. Like I'm an atepa. I didn't have dads growing up. I was so tired. And I think that for me personally, I was really looking for someone who could take care of me. I want to be around somebody that makes me feel safe and calm and protected. And a lot of people have actually commented on our relationship or what they see in like short videos on TikTok. And they actually think I'm not as silly around you or I'm not as like kooky around you. But I think it's that I just feel so calm around you. I don't think it's that I've lost my silly side around you. I do think I've grown up a bit because we work together and I think there's so much more at stake than before, and I could just like twerk on the vlog or just like so funny, so silly. But also I think that you make me feel so calm and safe and protected, and I think that's what I was really looking for, and I didn't know it at the time, but as you started to show it to me, I started to appreciate it more.
Well, that's dope. And everything you
That's dope. Salamat na lang talaga. I hate men. Ban male podcast. You're never gonna be on this.
No.
You make me feel so safe and protected, and I really appreciate that.
Let me
That's
finish.
Dope.
Let me finish.
Okay. Sakit.
Like.
And because of that, another Birkin. I'm kidding, babe.
This is you see the progression of our relationship, you know.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, like everything you said, you know, I truly appreciate. Mm-hmm. And to kind of like skew it back to the original point or the original like point of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you mentioned, that support that you got to give to your partner.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is it all costs money and it all costs time. If you don't have that to give and you don't have that to give yourself first and foremost, then I'm not saying don't date, you know, but I think when you date someone that's not there yet, you can't expect that of them either. And if you do and they're not ready, like you got to think about that.
What my mom and my grandma, I guess, like the women in my life, what they always told me was you can only date a man that either matches you or does more than you. Because you're never going to truly feel appreciated if you can do it for yourself. You know, because then it's like, okay, ano na. Like if you're not bettering my life or actively trying to elevate it or make my life easier, then what are you really bringing to the table? Because if you're going to get me pregnant in the future, if I'm going to be a wife in the future, and at this point palang, right? It's not even hard yet. Like, we haven't even gotten to the hard part.
Exactly.
Like, we don't have a baby. We don't have anything. And you're not already making my life easier. Then what's the point?
Na, you know?
Yeah, it's like, because it's going to get harder. So you need someone that you can rely on and really trust that will always try to make your life easier. Because that's why you always see so many women. Because when you see so many women that like after they get pregnant, for example, and then their men don't even fill up the bottles, the baby bottles, right? Because they're so used to not, right? Not making their life, the women's lives easier. And then that's where you start to complain. And I think that one of the ways to make women's lives easier isn't just financially, but it's the thought. It's the thought like, okay, can I send her flowers today? She's going to be really happy about that. It's like, oh, she hasn't eaten today. Maybe I can send her food. Obviously, you're busy working a lot and we can't like cuddle all day. And so physical touch is kind of out of the picture.
Yeah.
Like there's only so much you can cuddle.
Yeah.
Or like quality time. If you want a provider man or a man that has a job, which is hard to find these days, obviously they're going to be working. And so one of the easiest ways to support women is by sending things. Do you agree? Yeah.
You know, it's I remember in the beginning, I'm not even gonna say like muscle memory, mm-hmm. you know, but I think communication is such an important thing, because what you could be looking for is completely different from what another person is mm-hmm. looking for. And I think if a man is willing to, or if your partner rather, for, you know, is trying to make an effort to show you that they appreciate you,
mm-hmm.
They also kind of have to know what things make you happy.
Yeah.
You know,
that's fair.
And
these are the things that make me happy.
And but at the end of it, it's like, are they willing to provide that though?
Yeah.
Are they willing to make the extra effort to work a little harder, to spend a little, you mm-hmm. know, extra hours to make that happen? Are they willing to put themselves through struggle or more struggle so that they could better themselves and be able to give you what you're looking for? The question, the answer to that is not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some people are willing to do that, some people aren't, and that's important to note when you're dating someone.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that I pressured you into this? Do you ever feel that I impose a lot on you?
No, the pressure doesn't come from you. The pressure comes from me,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I can't expect you to want this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like what you want, what you're looking for, that's the standard.
Yeah.
Right. And so the pressure.
It's my standard.
It's your standard. And so it's up to me to decide whether I'm willing to meet those standards or exceed those standards or not.
That's
and so
fair.
The pressure is not from you, but it should be internal.
Mm-hmm.
And so for anyone that thinks that the pressure is outward going in, I think that's where a lot of couples fight a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the guys think that they're being pressured to meet a certain standard when they're already in a relationship. But the truth is, nah, bro. Like, that's just her standard. It's up to you to make sure you meet those standards or not,
mm-hmm.
because you can't force them to lower their standards to meet you where you're at. Because that's just whack.
It like really is. To lower your standards.
You know, like that's.
I would rather die in the ditch.
You know, and so yeah, I don't think that the pressure is outward, coming in.
Okay.
I think that the pressure is inward.
When I say my money is my money and your money is our money, do you agree?
That's how I kind of see it, you know, because that's what I'm comfortable with. That's how I want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's the way in the future where I could set something up where, or set our financials up where, you could just keep saving your money so that in any emergency or any instance,
and our businesses pay for things.
Exactly. You know, like that would be great. So that, again, like there's always like this idea of safeguarding your future,
mm-hmm.
right? And how best do you safeguard your future financially? There's so much that comes into question when you ask that. And so if I had an ideal setup, yeah,
mm-hmm.
like that would be ideal. It's not the way it is right now, mm-hmm. but that would be ideal.
You also don't like dating women without jobs. Like, you do have a provider mindset, but if I didn't have a job, or I wasn't busy, you would drop me.
It's not about the job.
Okay.
It was always about the ambition.
Okay. So women without ambition, that's the issue.
That's just my personal mm-hmm. like take, mm-hmm. right? That's just my personal.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. Like, if you ask me, what are you looking in some, like, what do you look for in someone? Like, oh, I like someone with ambition.
My issue in men isn't ambition. I think a lot of men have a lot of ambition. I think that...
but
no follow through. Yeah. No, like, okay, even I, like, tomorrow 100 million, la-di-da-di-da, yeah. We can all dream, duh.
Yeah.
But to actually do something, and I think that's why we started to date, because I could see that you were making my ideas come true through the events and the things I had in mind. It was really in that I started to want to date you. Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay, really quick, These are some questions that the BBB girls want to know. So
let's do it.
You're supposed to answer these very quickly, okay?
BBB girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do we fight about? Number one thing we fight about.
Ooh. Number one thing we fight about?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I'm trying to like...
The thing is, we don't fight kase. We just discuss.
We discuss. We discuss.
Like how you see us right now in the podcast is us at home for 3 hours every single day before we sleep.
Okay, we usually discuss what do you want? What is it that you want?
Okay, another thing that we've been fighting about lately, or not fighting about, was that I lie and it pretty often. I lie in general. And sometimes he'll say like, oh, we should go to bed now. We should sleep now. And then I'll say, I'll take a nap on the couch. And then say, I'll follow. I'll shower later on. And then I don't. And then he has to physically carry me.
Yeah, you have like this kind of sad bed rotting sort of like...
On the couch.
On the couch situation.
Because I'm so tired.
So tired, so overwhelmed with like all the shit that you have to deal with in the day. And mm-hmm. you kind of just like curl up into a ball. And not want to move, and you're stuck in the couch, you haven't showered, you got makeup on your face. I'm like, no, I gotta physically pick you up from that bed, from that couch, and toss you into the shower.
So one night last week, I also get this like sleepy drunk thing. And every time I'm drunk, I run away. Like I actually run. And so last week I was so sleepy drunk.
Sell, bro.
I wasn't drunk at all, I was just sleepy. He put me in the bed, carried me into the bed, then I was running out of the bed into the living room, then he was catching me, putting me back into the bed. I was just so
manic.
Yeah. Okay, what was our biggest fight?
Ooh. Well, honestly, the two big fights that almost
broke us
was related to the topic a while ago, which is like you didn't feel like I was really caring for you. Mm-hmm. And I think the end point of that was when we had finally talked about it, you know, the problem was I didn't know also what you were looking for.
Mm-hmm, because I wasn't fully communicating it yet, because I didn't want to scare him away.
But but in the same light, I wasn't trying anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I never would have figured it out either.
It was like chicken and egg.
It was chicken and egg situation, you know, and until we finally like got to a point where like, okay.
Ito pala.
You know, you shared finally mm-hmm. like what you're expecting, what you like, what you didn't like. And I'm like, okay, let me try.
You're always asking to like see me the same day. I'm like, I don't want to do last minute dates.
Yeah.
And then to you, they were like dates. But then to me, no, it's not a date. If you didn't ask me in advance at least a few days before. B, fully pay for it.
I like being spontaneous to a fault.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, hey, want to hang out?
AKA disrespecting my time.
Word, you know.
And so we were tussling with that at one point, and then you fixed it. And that was very easy.
And even the small things that you liked, you know, I think I started picking up on what those were, and I did my best to try and give those to you. Mm-hmm. And now I could say like, oh wow, like if I had just done these honestly like quite simple things, you know, small things that are just a little bit more thoughtful, it could have been a lot smoother in the beginning.
Yeah. But
here we are now.
We've made it almost 2 years, guys. What do you think about the Magic Mike situation now? And how are you feeling in the moment?
I think that it's things that we can kind of look back on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in that moment, that shit was tough for me. It was tough to see for me because I didn't understand like where you were coming from also.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was the way that you joined. I knew. The thing is, the producer of the show... I fucking knew. The producer of the show is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I know that he saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And I already knew that this motherfucker, he's going to make my girlfriend come on stage and do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to everyone, it's just a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because I am territorial by nature.
Okay.
You know, that didn't sit well for me, obviously.
But I watched the show with my mom.
I know, and that's kind of like the funny premise of it, right? Where the truth is, it was just an innocent show, right? And
I think din kasi, if I went with my girlfriends, it's different.
I think either way, you know, either way, it wouldn't have sat like well with me. If you did it again, like now? Today, will it sit well with me? I don't think so. Is it something I'm willing to move forward from? Yes. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that's where the...
Okay. So leading up to this show, for context, for those that don't know, you can look it up, but... What happened was, my mom 2 weeks before that was like, "Oh my god, I got tickets to Manny Chimero!" Yeah. And I was like, "Oh my god, yay!" And then I was telling you, and I was kind of prepping you that I was gonna watch the show. I didn't want to hide that from you, like, well, you and I tell each other everything.
Of course.
So there was no issue there. And then you kept saying, "I feel like you're gonna go on stage," and I was like,
"I knew it.
Why? Like, why would you think that out of what 2,000 people in the crowd? Ako talaga." And you kept saying it to a point where I was like, that's weird. Like, I won't think about that.
Yeah.
We get to the show. Again, I'm seated next to my mom. And the producer nga goes up to me in the seat and in my seat. And he's like, "Hey, it's time to go." And I'm like, "Oh my God." Oh my God. As I'm saying this, you are just patiently waiting outside for me and my mom because he came with us to the show and he said he'd wait outside and then come with us after, go home after. And so, of course, I was texting you like, "Oh my God, I'm going to be on stage." And then you were like, "What? You're really going to do it?"
Yeah.
Obviously, naman, as any normal boyfriend would react. I think that was a very normal reaction. And I was like, "Dude, I'm with my mom." Yeah. Like, do you think I'd do anything too crazy?
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not for me to do it. It's for the performers to do. It's really a show. And they were prepping me na, bring you backstage, sign a like release form, release, whatever. Like if you weaver. Break your neck, fuck you. I'm kidding. And so I signed that. Quick they give claim. Us a Smirnoff. They give us a Smirnoff mule. And they're like, "Here, your friend gave me a Smirnoff." And he was like, "Here, to loosen you up." And then I was like, "I think my boyfriend might get mad. He's texting me kind of not so happy right now." And I was telling him. And then he said like, "Hindi, tatawa yan, tatawa yan. Show lang naman." He kept laughing because of course for him, like, this is a moment that he already knew if I talked about it online, we'll get more, all of that. The usual naman, which is normal as a business owner, producer, whatever. And so he was talking me through it. He was like, "But siya magagalit." He kept going like that to me. And I was like, "Oh nga no, but siya magagalit." And knowing na, and then he was like, "Diba, andito yung mamo?" I was like, "Exactly." And so, parang I had so many people agreeing with me.
Yeah.
That
just hyping you up.
You felt like the odd one out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, backstage I was, and I did like the finale part where I went up with the Channing Tatum lookalike.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, up close does not look like what I think Channing Tatum would look like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, "Okay, cross your arms, whatever, and then we're gonna do this." And he throws me up into the air, and then I blink and I'm up in the air and I'm like, "Oh my God." And he's like, "Okay, we're gonna do that again, but on stage, okay? Keep your body stiff. Don't move because you could break your neck." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'm in deep." And then I do the show. I come out of it and you're not looking too happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get in the car. So me.
I see all the videos.
Online.
Of all the people posting it online.
Yeah. And we
Sharap.
Get. And we get in the car. My mom's driving. I'm in the front. You're in the back. And my mom's like, "Lox, why are you uncomfortable?" Because again, my mom's a cool mom, not a regular mom. And my mom's pushing Lox, like, "Why? Tell me, what makes you feel uncomfortable? Like, it's a show, duh. Like, why are you..."
Oh, man.
My mom being my mom, I, at that point, still thought, "You're being really weird right now." Like, obviously, it was a show. We didn't do anything. It even escalates. And so many of my friends are messaging, asking how Lox felt. And then we end up FaceTiming your mom. And your mom asked me if I saw it, his thing, in front of you. And I'm like, "Jesus, right? Like, how am I supposed to answer that?" But I did not see his thing.
Yeah.
And I remember apologizing to you, not because I regretted it totally at the moment. It was more of, I really didn't understand how you would feel.
And again, I think it goes back to what you were used to in your previous relationships, mm-hmm. you know.
And with my upbringing.
And your upbringing, you know, because you're in mostly...
gay relationships.
You had like female partners. Like, I mean, that, I guess that wouldn't have been like an issue.
It wouldn't have been because they would know that I wouldn't like guys anyway. It would just be funny, like a silly moment. And so that was going in my head.
You see another man put their hands in your woman and you just want to rip their head off their bodies. You know, it's just a natural male instinct to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of have to move on from it.
Yeah.
It's just
we stayed together.
Yeah, we stayed together. You know, it's like, fuck, that really sucked. But I got to put myself in her shoes too. And even if it was very uncomfortable for me, like, is this something that I'm not willing to move forward from?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, and we did. And that's the important thing, I think. But do it again, and I swear to God, you know.
What?
You know.
Bye, Birkin.
Bye-bye, Birkin.
Do we have any deal breakers as a couple?
Well, you know, watching another Magic Mike show, no problem. Participating in it, that's a different story, you know. So I think that's one deal breaker, I guess. you for me, like, what's, I mean...
Cheating.
Obviously cheating.
Maybe. And again, there's so many layers to cheating. It's not just physical cheating, but emotional cheating is cheating to me.
Agreed on that.
Another deal breaker, to be honest, is if 10 years from now, you didn't elevate your life.
Mm.
Like you still lived in the same apartment. You still
didn't
had any bigger
dreams,
ambitions.
Like, you know, baby, I'm going to make it one day, but, you know, don't really do
don't
anything
really do
to,
it.
To get yourself further.
No, I think that would really end me because then I would feel like I invested my good, young, sexy years
word.
On nothing.
Yeah.
So that would be a deal breaker.
I think family is a deal breaker for me. Not like the acceptance part, but more of building one.
Okay.
I think children are in some way a part of that, whether naturally or...
What? So if I chose not to have kids?
I think if you chose not to have kids, actually, it's not a deal breaker, eh? I think I could still live life without a kid. But, or if ever, I might like adopt a child, and I do want to raise a kid.
Okay.
And I think I could figure that out even without you necessarily being the
in
child's
the
like not in the picture, but the child's direct mother.
Okay, but if I'm hanging out with you and a kid all the time, I'm basically a stepmom.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like if you didn't want to have kids personally, I'd probably adopt a kid.
Okay.
So
and
I just
make
have
it happen.
And make it happen, you know. But not leave you, you know.
Okay.
So that's yeah.
So baby or no baby?
Oh, that's different from...
Yeah. Will we have kids or no kids?
That's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm okay to have kids. I was always open to having kids until I realized how expensive things were and how life just hits you on the head. And, you know, it becomes like such a big, insane, delusional dream at some point to have kids, knowing how expensive it is to take care of myself and then kids. So for a while, I wasn't as open to it. I never shut it down completely. It just felt so big of a dream, like such a big dream.
Okay, but like finances aside, let's say that's all taken care of, kids or no?
Yes.
Okay, then there, that's it. That's
I would love to have either two or four.
That's the same amount, because like I just don't want that awkward sort of like
odd number
trio. I like it na may kakampi sila.
Yeah, me also.
Nah.
Three girls, one boy. Actually, my dream is
whoa.
One gay boy, one gay girl.
Two girls, two boys.
As long as the other boy is gay. And the other girl is gay.
Whichever.
I just don't know if I could live with myself if my kid was... If all my kids were straight. Parang, ano na? Wala akong kakampi.
I have no kakampi. I doubt it.
I just need a gay kid because I'm gay and so I feel like I need my kakampi. Okay, is marriage just a piece of paper? Yes or no?
Is marriage just a piece of paper?
Mm-hmm. Like, would we get married?
No, it's not just a piece of paper.
Why? What does it mean to you?
You know, like...
It is a piece of paper.
It is a piece of paper. That binds you together, but you know, I don't see it as just something that you kind of shop around or toss around. Yeah, I think that marriage is important. If you're going to build a family, if you're going to build like a proper life together, mm-hmm. I think that... because you don't have to, but I think doing that or making that, taking that extra step or to make things like official...
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of extra effort that you need to make to prove to not just yourself but to everyone around that, hey, this is an active decision that we as a couple are making.
Okay.
Yeah.
He also knows when I want to get married. You do, right? Because I actively don't want to get married in my 20s. That's another thing for me. I feel like if you're only going to get married once, there's no point in rushing it.
Word.
I'm okay to get married early 30s.
Same. Well, by that time, I'll be in my mid-30s. And that's completely fine with me.
Yeah. I also think that it's one of those things where for some couples, they don't need it. But for me personally, I feel like I need it.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think I come from a family where we have a long history of very, very young marriages and having kids at a very young age. I was the first in my sort of like lineage to not have a baby at like 16, 17, 18 years old, you know? And I think I'm enjoying this time just kind of building myself. I'm in a really great relationship with someone that I really care about and that I can grow with. And I think there really is no rush, you know, to get married.
I think also I look at marriage as a celebration of the hard work we put in as a couple.
It's a good way to see it.
Do you ever get jealous?
Yeah, of course.
Would you consider yourself a jealous person?
I think a little bit of jealousy is always good to an extent, but I think when not without reason, mm-hmm. you know. Even so, I don't think I'm the jealous type that goes to the extreme. I think that if no lines are crossed, it's okay. Once you do cross that line, it's also a very fine line between will this work or not.
So could I kiss girls now? When we started dating, by the way, that was a recurring situation where yeah. every time I'm drunk, I would kiss Nat and... and I'd make out together. We were fully together.
I think in the beginning, because no lines were drawn clearly,
mm-hmm.
And you know, we were both technically single.
Yeah,
it's fine. But I think now it's a bit different. You know, I really care about. I think the exclusivity in a relationship is also important, at least to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were going to leave those bounds, or leave the bounds of exclusivity, it also makes me feel like, okay, then I guess this is a bit more open than I thought and not as serious as I thought it was going to be.
So basically what you're saying is intimacy matters to you.
Yes.
And me making out with other girls breaks that boundary.
I would intimacy. Say
so. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't made out with girls in a while. Okay, one last question. How did you honestly feel about my ex setup?
You mean...
Still talking after breaking up and hanging out and...
I had to give grace in that whole situation. Again, you're... Number one, you're still technically single, right? I never made it clear that I wanted something exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're coming off of a very, very long relationship where your lives have already been, you know,
okay, yes, intensely, but I think
like integrated.
The issue is, or the, not the issue, I think the controversy comes from, we were already official at some point, but she would still go to family gatherings.
I found that weird. I found that odd.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again, you know, I think I'm...
Or when she would get drunk and her friends would call me to pick her up and ask if she could stay at my place.
Listen, I'm one to talk, you know, when it comes to the grace that I was given in all my circumstances, especially in my most difficult moments in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I chose to be understanding. I chose to give grace in those situations because I know how hard it is to be in a situation like that, you know, to have your world change in a very quick amount of time.
Okay. I think though for me, it was that we broke up not because of any other reason that... No, I think for me it was that we broke up because we were just friends. And that's what we realized along the how many years that we were together. At the end of the day, we weren't romantically inclined to each other anymore. And so the reason that it kept playing on like that for so long was because not much had to change in our minds because we were acting that way already. Like, we weren't sleeping together, holding each other at night anymore. It wasn't like that at all.
Yeah.
And so, breaking up didn't feel like such a big shift, but at the same time was such a big shift.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how to take those steps forward because of all the things at play already.
Mm. And again, like, I know the situation that I'm coming into, you know, where I play.
In all like of that.
How I fit into all of this. And, you know, I think if I hadn't reacted or let things play out the way that I did, and I had gotten a bit too territorial, a bit too impulsive with how I thought, how I felt, or how I dealt with certain things, I don't think that that would have been a good reflection of who I was as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of person I could be to you.
Fair.
And okay. So I made those decisions consciously.
Okay. But when I cut her off completely earlier this year when she was arguing with me about our YouTube videos, were you happy? Come on. When I was pissed, like actually pissed that she was asking me to do all these things for her in such a short timeline after not talking again for how long. And she was basically like demanding that of me and I was getting really irritated.
Well, again, see here, I will never say anything. I will never say anything about the relationship that you guys had because it's not my place to say anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, how it played out even earlier this year. Again, I don't think it's for me to really say. For me, it's just like, how does that make you feel? And how mm-hmm. How can I support you in that manner? You know?
Okay.
Like, it didn't make me happy. It didn't make me sad. Or I think I was more indifferent to the situation versus like how that was going to be for you. If you made that decision because it was better for you, then so be it. You know? That's pretty much it. I don't really care about anything outside of that.
Cool. Thanks, babe.
Thank you for having me. Was that it? Was the last
question?
That was
everything.
Damn, we fucking talked, huh?
It's okay. Kukot ko half yung sinabi mo. Thanks, babe. Bye.
All right, bye. That's Bible.